Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning in the house of the Lord again. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for the light of God that enters into our heart from the Word of God. So let it be this morning and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And everybody say, Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am going to, by the grace of God, continue today in the, we've been doing the book of Hebrews. I will be continuing today. And I think that I'm coming up to some very, very important segment, which by the grace of God will be next week. So you want to be here for every service that you can, and the Lord's going to bless your heart. Amen. Amen. Today, I am going, if you have your Bibles, we're going to do a lot of Bible reading, so don't be looking just at my face. Have the Word of God out. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to Hebrews chapter 5. Now, I want to say something before I introduce the topic. I want to say that the Hebrews chapter 5, I am actually going to skip it until I get to Hebrews chapter 7. And I'm going to do them together that way. But today I'm going to do a little in between. You know, the last time we talked about, we've talked about a number of topics, and we've talked about, a new priesthood that has been established and so forth, that was mostly for us. But next week, by the grace of God, we're going to concentrate on the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and his priesthood and what that means for us. So we'll be seeing that. But today, I'm going to start from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. I'm going to skip verses 1 through 11. And when I do chapter 7 of Hebrews, I will actually start from chapter 5. But today I will do Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 12 through all of Hebrews chapter 6. I want to try to rush through it and do it all in one service. So I will be reading a lot, but I'll pause and say a few things that the Lord wants me to say. There are some topics of instruction in this text, and there are various topics. And in a minute, I will tell you the one that I want to concentrate on. There is a warning about remaining as an immature Christian. Or spiritual immaturity. There's a warning against that in this text that we are going to be reading. There is also there's an admonition, for us to be faithful, considering the promises of God. And there are many other things in this chapter. But the aspect that I want to talk about today is bringing forth fruit unto maturity. Bringing forth fruit unto maturity. Now, so I will start at verse 12 of Hebrews 5. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, because he is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So right away from this little text, this small text, we see that there is an admonition or let's just put it that way, an admonition that, look, don't remain as babies, basically. Because he's saying, look, for the time that you ought to already be teachers, you're still babies. And people still need to teach you, you know, some basic things. Now, how long are you going to be that is what he's saying. You know, and he, you know, so, and by the grace of God, part of the reason, part of the purpose of this ministry is to help build believers into that maturity, into that mature image of the sons of God, just like Christ, that the Lord is looking for. You know, so we don't, God doesn't want us to remain babies all the time. I mean, just imagine if somebody had a baby and they didn't grow for years and years and years. They might call it stunted growth. I mean, and every one of us who are parents, we've had kids, and you know, we are so excited when they are growing and getting bigger and so forth. And then the next thing you know, they start to crawl, and then they start to walk, they start to talk, they start to, you know. So you go through, you watch all of this development in their lives, and everybody's excited about it. You know, but if that baby remained a baby for several years, I don't think the parents will be happy. Do you? So the Lord, in the same way, I don't think that the Lord is happy if we just remain as babies, spiritual babies, all the time. Now, verse chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection. So, we're going to move in the direction of perfection. Now, we started somewhere, but we are going somewhere. Amen? Amen, people? Amen. Now, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. These are the principles of our foundation. The foundation of our faith. These are the principles. You know, we have repentance from dead works. We have faith towards God. We have the doctrine of baptisms. We have the doctrine of the laying on of hands. We have the, you know, we even know about the resurrection of the dead. We even know about eternal judgment and so on. You know, but these are all the principles of the foundation of our faith. Now, if these are the principles of the foundation of our faith, and he's asking us to move beyond this, and if we don't even understand these principles, then we have a major problem on our hands. Because he's saying that, look, these things, repentance from dead works, which means, like the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's a new creature. So if we're still in dead works, and we're still doing the same old things that we used to do, then we haven't even begun. So, repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptisms, water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, laying on of hands, you know, for healing and so forth, and all of these things that, you know, that are in the Bible. And then we also know about resurrection of the dead. This is the hope that, you know, everybody is looking forward to at some point in time. And then we're talking about eternal judgment, you know, for those that, you know, on the one side, the goodness of God, on the other hand, the severity, and so forth. You know, if people don't trust the Lord with their lives. So these things, all these things that he has talked about, these are just the principles of the basics of our faith. And he said, we must go on to perfection. And verse 3 says, and this we will do. Hallelujah. So we will not remain babies. We will move on to perfection if God permits. Hallelujah. So we are going to do that. Now, let's listen to the reason why you must move on from being babies. I'm going to start to get into some deep part of this teaching now. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. There are not too many things in the Bible that are said to be impossible. This is one of them. And they have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them to repentance again. Why? Because they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and they put him to an open shame. Now, what does this mean? It means that if you are not making progress, you are actually in danger of regression. Let me say that again. Because God doesn't stand still. You know, so even in relative motion, you know, if I stand still and something is moving, relative to me, if I stand still, you know, and that thing is moving, then I'm already behind. How many of you still follow me? I mean, if you're walking with somebody and you're both going, and then all of a sudden you stop and do nothing more, and they keep going, then all of a sudden you are behind. Even though you didn't go behind, you just stopped. But you are behind because you didn't keep lock pace with the person you are walking with. Does everybody understand that? You know, so when we are walking with God, if we stop in baby level, if we stop in, you know, without really going forward, then we are actually going backwards. You know, and that's a danger that he's saying here. You know, and if you don't engage yourself in the things of God, then the devil will engage you in the things of the world. That's what we heard last week, and that's some of the things we've been discussing this morning. So so there's a very serious warning here. And people who have tasted of the goodness of God, they've tasted of all of these wonderful things and so forth. And if they turn their back, they fall away. And the falling away doesn't happen in one day. It's a gradual thing. You know, first a little folding of the arms, a little slumber, and then a little sleep. You know, I mean, first, you know, it becomes something. I mean, it's a sleep. You know, Ephesians 5 verse 14 says, arise. I mean, it says, you know, awake from sleep and arise from the dead. And then Christ will give you life. What does that mean? Well, it's first sleep, and then the next thing you know, it's actually turned to death. Sleep means, well, don't do anything. You just fold your arms. You know, just don't do anything. Just don't make any progress. So that's not good. We don't want that. The Lord doesn't want that. Amen? Now listen to verse 7. This is very serious. You know, these next two verses will show us what God is really looking for. And this is where I'm going with the teaching today. Verse 7 of Hebrews 6 says, for the earth that drinketh in the rain and that comes off upon it and bring forth herbs, meat for them for by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. But the earth that brings forth briars and thorns is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now let me explain that. When the rain falls, it falls on everything. Well, some vegetation receive the rain and produce something good. Other vegetation receive the rain and produce something good. I mean, something evil. I mean, weed. How many of you know that, you know, when you, in your garden, if there is weed and you water the garden and rain falls and so forth, the same rain that makes the good seed to grow will also make the weed to grow. The same water. It's not separate water. You know, it's the same water. You know, so that's why you must constantly weed out the weed. Prune the thing out and so forth and get rid of it, because actually, you know, the weed are very aggressive and they have a way of, you know, draining the whole moisture away from the real vegetation if you don't get rid of the weed. You know, so now, but God, this scripture is saying that, look, when God sends his rain, he's looking for something. If he gets that something that he's looking for, then happy is the vessel from where he gets it. But the vessel that receives the rain and didn't produce what God was looking for, not what we thought we wanted to do, but what God is looking for. Take note of that. There is something that God is looking for. And if we don't produce exactly what God is looking for, then we have, you know, the Bible says we are facing the possibility of rejection. He said that vegetation that doesn't bring forth the right thing is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now, that's a very serious and dangerous place to be. Now, God wants us to not only mature, but to become like Christ. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 6, and verse 40, he said, the disciple is not above his master, but when he is perfect, he shall be as his master. Praise the Lord. So, what he's looking for is moving on into that perfection, just like the master. Now, that's Luke chapter 6, verse 40, if you are taking notes. But let me bring a story out about this, expectation of God, where he's expecting something and he doesn't find it. I'm going to bring two texts out to illustrate this point. The first story here is from Mark chapter 11. And it's a popular story because it leads into a popular text that many of us quote from time to time. But I want to read from, around verse 12 of Mark chapter 11. Now, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, that's Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Now, take notice. And then Jesus answered and said to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. Now, as the story went down and so forth, they came back in verse 19, and they went out of the city, and in the morning, verse 20, they passed by, and they saw that the fig tree had dried up by the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, he said unto them, Master, behold the tree which you cursed. He's already withered away. And then Jesus told him that famous quotation that we all quote, if you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and so forth, and you can, be cast into the sea and not doubt it in your heart, but believe that, those things which you say shall come to pass, that it shall come to pass. But it came out of this story. But the story here is, I'm not talking about the faith part right now. We've preached on that many times. But I'm talking about the expectation that Jesus had. So Jesus walks up to this fig tree. This fig tree, now, if he hadn't had any leaves at all, well, maybe Jesus wouldn't have walked up to it. Now, of course, Jesus knew everything, but there is a point that he's bringing out, and that's the point I want to bring out here. But Jesus already knew that there wasn't any tree there, but he was operating in this natural realm. There wasn't any fruit there. So in the natural realm, the tree had leaves, bunches, and, when they have leaves like that, they usually have fruit as well. But really, the time of the figs was not yet. But Jesus came anyway, and he didn't find fruit. And he said to the tree, because I didn't find fruit when I came, you're done. No man eat of you anymore after this. You're done. Amen? That's right. And that was it. Now, if you look at that very carefully, we see many elements in that story. First of all, the tree had appearance. It had leaves. It had some things and so on. But really didn't have what God was looking for. It's like Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but you are dead. See, so this tree had, what he said to the church in Sardis. So this tree had the resemblance of activity. It had leaves, had all these things and so forth like that. And the tree was probably saying within itself, why are you thinking, why are you thinking that, I should have fruit? After all, the time of the figs is not yet, So it's kind of like us thinking within ourselves, the time of the revival is not yet. The time of this is not yet. Any time God wants that fruit. Amen. 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 Don't put no time to God, because he can come when it was not yet time for the figs, and that tree didn't have any fruit, and still it was cursed. Because he is the master. Hallelujah. You know, so don't say, well, you know, it's going to be this time or it's going to be that time. Or you say, well, it's not yet time and so forth. You know, just like Jesus said them, he said, look, you know, some people say, well, there are yet four months to the harvest and all of this. He just said, no, the harvest is ripe already. The fields are ripe already to harvest. You know, so this is a valuable lesson that when God came to the tree, when Jesus came to that tree, he didn't find a fruit that he was looking for. The tree had something else too. I mean, the tree was not exactly, you know, just withered away. The tree was not withered away until Jesus made that proclamation. The tree was actually in the process, was bearing fruit. I mean, no, not bearing fruit just yet, but it had leaves and it had all these things and so forth. So it was in the process. But, you know, maybe he should have had the fruit because Jesus wanted the fruit. And he didn't find it. You know. Now, you have to read also the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And I want to read that very quickly. Even though we are here in the book of Hebrews, nonetheless, this bears on the topic. John 15, verse 1, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. See, we're reading John 15 now. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it so that he can bring forth more fruit. Now notice. Notice what he said here. Every branch in me. Not some branch that is not in him. The branch was in him already. But it did not bear the fruit that he was looking for. So it wasn't just some branch, but it was the branch that was already in him. Do we understand that? Amen. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it so that he may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So Jesus is telling us how we can bring forth much fruit here. For without me, ye can do nothing. You have to abide, we have to abide in him, and he must abide in us. His word must abide in us. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Now, this was a man that was in him to start with, but he did not stay in him. You know, he started with the Lord and had the appearance like this leaf, now this fig tree with leaves and so forth, but he didn't have the fruit, the real fruit, you know, that God was looking for. And God is looking for the fruit that he's looking for, not what the tree think it should be bringing for. You better bring for what the master wants. Amen. Amen, folks. Because, you know, that tree didn't bring forth, it only said, well, you know, I'm good with the leaves right now. Jesus said, no, you're not good with the leaves. I wanted fruit, you didn't have fruit, you're done. Nobody eat of you anymore. And he withered away. You know, so, and it's the same thing here. If a man does not abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and then men gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. Now, that's a serious warning. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. I know everybody would like that. However, the flip side is if you don't abide in him, there's always a promise for doing the right thing with God. But if you don't do the right thing, then there's also the severity of God. The severity of God says, if a man does not abide in me, then he'll be cast forth as a branch, a dead branch. And they will grab that, those things and put them in the fire and they're burned. You know, so herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. This is what he's looking for. He's looking for that fruit. And he wants that fruit to come to maturity. He doesn't want the, look, take for example somebody who's building a house and he has laid the foundation. When you lay the foundation, I mean, can you just live in the foundation? Can you live in the foundation only? I mean, that's what many of us are doing. We're living in the foundation. We've laid the foundation, all these things we read in the Bible, repentance from dead works, you know, faith towards God, doctrines of baptisms, and so on and so forth. You know, but these are the foundation we're told. And that's where most of us just leave. And we don't finish the house. You know, I mean, that's a sorry state for somebody who just lays the foundation for the house, and that's all they do. You know, now, when somebody is building a house, there is a hope that he will live in it. But if all he has done or does is the foundation, then I don't think that hope that he will live in that house is going to materialize. Because he's just built the foundation, and he's not building the rest of the house. So we must build the rest of the house. Amen. Amen, folks. This applies to our lives, our spiritual lives. You must build the rest of the house. Can't just lay the foundation. Can't just drink milk all the time. Imagine if milk, I don't even like milk anymore. I mean, I used to drink milk a lot when I was a kid. I don't like it anymore, you know. So, but, there are people that still drink milk, and it's okay. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But if milk was the only thing I drank, I probably wouldn't be sufficient for me right now because I'm no longer a kid. The kid, the baby, you know, and the one that is still, you know, breastfeeding and so forth, maybe they can live on milk for a while. Even after a while, milk is not even sufficient for them. They have to get something else. Well, for those of us who are not babies anymore, the scripture says, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Now, instead of taking strong meat, though, a lot of people only want the milk. Now, if we preach anything that may be a little bit like solid and not even liquid, people say it's too hard. You know, we're not even talking about strong meat yet. We haven't preached anything that's really strong meat. You know, but you know, people say it's too hard. You know, the church is too hard. You know, fast too much. We do this too much. We do that too much, and so forth. Well, all of these things are just the foundation that we should be doing anyhow. You know, but if you really want strong meat, then you have to dig in a little deeper with Jesus. Amen. You cannot just stay on the milk. You know, and this we will do by the grace of God. We will move on to perfection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, this is a situation that we don't want ourselves in. Is a situation where Jesus comes, you know, and he can come anytime. You know, and I'm not talking about the coming of the Lord as we know it. I'm talking about on a daily basis, the Lord may be looking for something in your life, and it's not there, you know. So we don't need to say, like, it's not the time of figs yet. It's not the coming of the Lord yet, you know. When the Lord is about to come, I'll get my house in order and so forth. No, the Lord wants your house in order every day. And the Lord is looking for fruit every single day. So let's go back to our text, Hebrews. I digress from that, but it goes right with the message. So I'll go back to Hebrews. Now, what we have covered so far is to tell us that God is looking for what he wants. So if God planted a vine and is looking for grapes or whatever, he doesn't want to find briars and thorns in there, you know. And if he does, that's not going to be pleasing unto him. He's going to get rid of that vegetation or that planting or that tree. Every tree and every plant that my Father has not planted, Jesus said, you know, shall be weeded out. So, let me go back to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, even though we do speak. Can you say amen? Amen. We are persuaded better things of you. For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that you continue to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So let me pause a little bit here and deal with another interesting admonition that is in this text. This is admonition about keeping your eyes on the promise of God. This is admonition where he says, do not be slothful, but look at others who have gone before. They went through faith, but they also had to have patience. When you have faith, you also have to have patience. Amen? Some of us don't have faith, and that's a terrible place to be. Some have faith, but they have no patience. Well, the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, Psalm 40. I waited patiently. Well, are you willing to wait patiently for the Lord? You know, those who through faith and patience, they inherit the promises. When God made promise to Abraham, it took him many, many years, 25 years to finally inherit the promise and so forth. Even a simple promise like a child. How long does it take somebody to get pregnant? How long does it take somebody to get pregnant and have a baby? Why should it take 25 years? But it did. But God allowed those things there for a reason, to help us right now. But look at what God did, when he made promise to Abraham. Verse 13. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Hallelujah. Every time I read this scripture, my heart leaps for joy. God, he looked, usually people, when they make an oath, they swear by somebody greater than themselves to make that oath. So God, wanting to do the same, he looked for somebody greater than himself by which he can make that oath. So he looked everywhere and he found nobody greater than himself, so he swore by himself. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And he said it. Look, and when God says something twice, when he says, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. When he hammers on it like that, he's going to do it. And he said, look, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. So Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, men, this is what I just said. Men verily swear by something greater than themselves and so forth. So God also, wanting to confirm the oath, because to men, once you make an oath, that's the confirmation, that's the end of all strife, he's saying here. So God also, verse 17, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, that means unchangeability. You can't change, you can't erase, you can't obliterate his promise. Hallelujah! Willing to make sure that you know that what he promised cannot be changed, he confirmed it by an oath. And he said to Abraham, he made the oath and so forth like that, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled from the refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have time, because of the shortness of the time, to really how to bring what we are talking about back into the hope that is set before us. But I'm going to try in just a few minutes. Now, the next part of the admonition from this text is the hope that is set before us. Now, what is the hope that is set before us? What is that hope? I want you to ask yourself the question. And I want to ask that question, or hope that question will be asked again next week during the review. What is the hope that is set before us? Everybody, may think different things about this hope. So what is that hope? Now, listen to this. The hope that we are talking about that is set before us is as an anchor to the soul. And it is sure. And it is steadfast. And it's something that enters within the veil. Hallelujah. see how he pulls it all together? Remember about two or three lessons ago when we were in the earlier part of, maybe about last lesson or so, I forget. When we're talking about, look, it's a new priesthood now. You're no longer, outside. The veil's been rent. You can go in now. See how he's bringing it back together again? This hope that we have in itself is one that can go even beyond the veil. Nothing to be kept out. And he said, look, this place that we are pressing towards, which is beyond that veil, which before has been kept out by everybody else. Only one person could go in there once a year or whatever. But when Christ died on the cross, we saw that the temple curtain, the veil, was rent in twain, signifying that, God has removed that so that there is now a new and living way into the throne of grace. Amen. And he's saying to us that our forerunner, which is Christ, has before us entered beyond that veil. You see, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Our next lesson, I'm going to be talking about the priesthood of Christ, the Melchizedek priesthood, and what that is all about. So that's why I left that chapter 5, because it goes in with this chapter 7. I'm going to bring it all together next week and see what it is all about. Now let me say this right here, that the greatest thing about this book of the Word of the Lord, this Bible, is that it is about Christ. Hallelujah. It is not even about the bride. Some people talk about the bride, the elect, and the church, and all of these things. That's wonderful. But it is about Christ. Praise the Lord. And you're going to find out more about it next week. Because God has appointed that in Christ, he will gather together all things, both in heaven and on earth. Whether it be the bride, whether it be anything else, it's going to be gathered together in Christ. So Christ is the centerpiece of everything. God's eternal purpose is Christ right there. The centerpiece. And then everybody else, everything else magnetized to that centerpiece. Hallelujah. And we're going to find out how his priesthood, what it means. We're going to find out. Jesus Christ, we know him as the King of Kings. And we know him as the Lord of Lords. Well, we will know him as the High Priest of all high priests. Hallelujah! And there is something beyond that, which we may know, but there is something that's a little deeper. And by the grace of God, we have that. So let me take a few minutes to summarize what we have talked about today. We are looking for, God is looking for fruit that goes on to maturity. He doesn't want us to remain as babies. And he said, look, the time you should already be teachers, you are still babies. People are still have to teach you every little thing. Well, one of the things, by the grace of God, that we are, that's why we change the order of the services, so people, you get to learn the Word of God more and exercise yourself and so forth in the things of God and all that. Because, we don't want to be just preaching all these messages and people forget. So we have a challenge on our hands that we need to move on to maturity. We need to move on to perfection, and this is not about being boastful or being proud. This is what God expects. Praise ye the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Be ye therefore also perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, we know that we are not there yet, but he's working on us, and we better be working on ourselves. You better be producing that fruit and so forth like that. His role, he said, my Father is the husbandman. His role is to do some things and so forth, send the rain and do all of these things and so forth. Well, but, the tree better produce the fruit. If the tree doesn't produce the fruit, it's done with. So it's our responsibility to produce the fruit. And there are many portions of that fruit. You can find some of it in Galatians chapter 5. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We also know that, winning souls is fruit, is bringing fruit into the kingdom of God. But what we are talking about here today is becoming more like Christ. getting away from being babies. And stop thinking that anything that's a little deeper than the message of salvation is too deep. You know, how long are we going to be dwelling on, you know, repentance from dead works? Everybody in this building should already have repented from dead works. Praise the name of the Lord. Everybody in this building should already be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, these are the basics of our, of, you know, laying on of hands, you know, baptisms, all of these things. All of you should already be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's not the case, well, you can see me and we'll take care of that. Everybody should have these things down. Praise the Lord. You know, everybody should already know the difference between right and wrong. You know, he said those who have their spiritual senses exercised to discern good and evil. Now, well, we need to move on to deeper things. But how can you really, somebody once said, how can you teach somebody algebra when they haven't first learned ABC? How can you run if first you don't walk? And how can you walk if first you don't crawl? So that's why you see that babies go through that those phases. The first, they stumble around a little bit, you know, before they can actually stand up and walk. You know, before that, they crawl. And, you know, they can't run if they didn't do any of those two first. And then finally, you know, they may be able to run, you know, and all that. But we don't want to be in the crawling phase all the time. Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. Let's get up from the crawling phase already. Let's not be crawling. We shouldn't still be crawling. We shouldn't still be toddlers or whatever they call it. We shouldn't be toddlers anymore. You know, we need to get away from that. You know, become, you know, the only time that you should be a babe is in malice and bitterness and all these things that are contrary. Those things, we should be babies. But in the things of God, we should go to maturity. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So it is time for us to get up and mature so that Christ can find the fruit that he is looking for. Now, this segment of the book of Hebrews is a strange section to be interjected when he's talking about priesthood. So that's why when I'm reading it, I like to separate it, you know, so I kind of separated it and so forth. So we'll bring it back together next week, the way I think, you know, if all fits together, you know, those chapters 5 and 7 all fit together in the priesthood of Christ and so on. So, and Melchizedek and what that's all about. So we'll bring that together and we'll see how that. And remember, whatever we say and whatever God reveals to us about Christ, remember one thing. The purpose is for Christ to be a blueprint. Or the blueprint. The blueprint. Not that he should be the only one, but that he should be the blueprint. So he should be the first born among many brethren, but not the only one. You know, so we are to look unto Jesus and we are to become like him. And everything we see that God reveals about him, those are the things that we should aspire to be like. Somebody said today that don't make anybody your hero other than Christ. Well, here's a good challenge. You want a hero? You try to be like Christ. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Because Christ is the express image of the eternal God. Hallelujah. And God found him faithful. And in him was God well pleased. And God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. We want to hear that same commendation from the Lord that this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. We don't want to hear the rebuke or the curse that says, because you did not bring forth fruit, you're done. No man will eat of you anymore. That's not the place that we want to be. Amen? Yeah. Amen, folks? Yeah. We don't want to be like that fig tree that did not have fruit, but only had the appearance, had leaves, and the leaves bunched up, they look like fruit, but it wasn't really fruit. So, you know, whatever is bunched up looking like fruit, that is not really fruit, we need to get rid of it. Amen. God is looking for real fruit. And fruit that can mature, you know, into what he wants. And you don't want to pluck the fruit off the tree too prematurely, because it might not get a chance to ripen. But, you know, you let it sustain, you know, sustain. I mean, let the branch, or let the tree sustain it for up to a certain point, you know. Then when it is ripe, then you pluck it, you know, and so on. So that's what God is looking for. Now, there is a hope that is also set before us. And this hope, I asked us the question, what is the hope? And somebody said this or somebody said that. But let me say to us today that whatever we think that hope is, here it is. The hope of glory is Christ in us. That means we become exactly like Christ. As Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. The hope that we have is that we might become exactly like Christ. Hallelujah. If we can be exactly like the Christ, this is what we are looking for, and this is what God is looking for. And that's what God was looking for from the beginning, when he wanted to reproduce himself and said, you know, I will make man, you know, just like the Lord. But we didn't do it. But now we are coming back to a head, and we must do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you say, who can do this then? Is it by our own power? No, but it is by the grace of God. And this we will do by the grace of God. We will go on to perfection. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A simple lesson, but there are many things that can be drawn from it. We will go on to perfection. That is the lesson from today. And we must leave childish things alone. Praise the Lord. When I was a child, I did childish things. I'm a grown man now already. I shouldn't be doing those childish things. So those childish things, you know, like still, you know, dealing in dead works and so forth, and still struggling with sin and all those are leave those things alone. Move on to perfection. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Put on Christ, the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And let him shine in you all the time. Now, there may be some of us who have, you know, been walking with God, but we strayed or allowed so many things to make us stray. Well, there is a warning here also. It's one of the things we read today. Those who have tasted of the goodness of God and all these things and so forth, if any man think he stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Because if they fall, after doing all of that, might be, you know, say it is impossible to renew them. You know, so I want the Lord to revitalize my faith. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want to just have a name that I live and be dead. I don't want to just have leaves, appearance of fruit, but not have real fruit. I want real fruit in my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands today. There's a song I love. It says, take me back to the place where I first believed you. Hallelujah. Take me back, Lord, to that place, that very place. Renew my faith and restore my joy. You know, I know, Lord, that I've been blessed, but yet I'm not satisfied. I hear you calling me all the time. And I want, Lord, to move from immaturity to maturity. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, because it is your wish for us and it's your desire for us that we should come to maturity and to be like the Christ. For you said, when the disciple is perfect, he will be like his master. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Now, Lord Jesus, fulfill in us, O God, even with thy hand. Do that which you have promised with your mouth. Even, Lord, as you promised, you said that you will build your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we are your church. We are the people of your hand. And we are the people of your pasture, Lord. Father, O Lord, help every one of us to build this house. This house, like this foundation that has been laid. And the scripture says, let every man be careful how he build upon it. Help us to build this foundation, to build upon this foundation and come into maturity, and that the Christ may be glorified in us. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.